Life was humming along until it wasn't. One moment you're editing a manuscript about navigating life's curveballs, the next you're living through the collapse of your 16-year marriage. That's the paradox of crisis. It arrives without warning, yet somehow we're still expected to keep functioning, smiling politely when people say, "I'm sorry," responding with, "I'm fine," when we're absolutely not fine. Here's what nobody tells you about grief, loss, or any life-shattering event. Society desperately wants you to keep your pain at an acceptable volume. We're conditioned to maintain composure even when our world is burning. But pretending you don't have negative feelings is like painting over hideous bathroom walls without proper prep. Those ugly emotions will bubble through eventually. Before rushing towards solutions or forcing positivity, you need to acknowledge what actually happened. Your disappointment, rage, confusion, whatever you're feeling, isn't petty. It matters because you matter. When chaos strikes, whether it's pandemic, divorce, death, or job loss, the first step isn't moving forward. It's staying present in the suspended reality of crisis, however disorienting that feels. When life implodes, you emerge transformed while your mind processes events as your former self. This identity crisis takes four forms. First, the identity taken from you, the Navy SEAL wife asking, "Who am I now after her husband dies?" Circumstances didn't erase what you earned. Second, the identity you want but can't have, calling your shot only to watch it bounce off the rim. Focus on your destination while staying open to different routes. Third, the identity you chose but no longer want, the uniform that doesn't fit anymore. When someone says, "You've changed," respond with, "Thank you, I'm working at it." Finally, the identity someone else chose for you, becoming what your father dreamed until everyone wants a piece of your trauma. Your identity belongs to you alone. You're more than your suffering. You might have cancer, but you're not just a cancer patient. Nobody defines you but you. Grief manifests as an endless loop of unanswerable questions that breed anxiety and become quicksand. Who obsesses over absence, viewing everything through the lens of loss? While missing loved ones is natural, letting their absence color everything means missing the life still here. What replays details endlessly? What did I miss? What signs were there? These questions have no answers and only deepen depression. When asks, "When will this pain stop?" really asking, "When will life return to normal?" The truth? Your life will never be the same because you won't be the same. Where involves anxious thoughts about future circumstances. During crisis, focus only on your present, even just the next hour if needed. Why is the most seductive trap? Why did this happen to me? But knowing wouldn't make you feel better. Life isn't fair, and you'll never find the answer, so stop looking. Only how has an answer. How you start moving forward, how you heal, how to identify positive aspects within your pain. Healing is a solo mission. You'll need help, but the path is yours alone. If guilt is your biggest suffering, whether from cheating, lying, or abandoning someone, feeling it means you're trying. You may never receive forgiveness from those you hurt, but you can work toward forgiving yourself. No amount of self-punishment will rewind the past. Hatred never heals. Only love can do that. Love yourself enough to seek help and believe you can be better. But also love yourself enough to walk away from anyone weaponizing your guilt. If you've sincerely apologized and worked to change, but someone continues holding your actions over your head years later, that's manipulation, not forgiveness. Guilt also comes from others' expectations. The widower who wants to date but faces his children's anger, the college student who admits who she really is, only to face family judgment. I fought with every ounce of energy to make my marriage work. Therapy, conferences, books, prayer. Then one day, I couldn't anymore. I chose to hurt my children and disappoint our community. I don't feel one ounce of guilt. I feel pain, loss, hurt, anger, but no guilt. Guilt implies I've done something wrong, but I know I made the only decision possible for us to emerge whole. I'm willing to be the villain in someone else's story if it means being the hero of my own. Remember believing swallowed watermelon seeds would grow in your stomach? That wasn't ridiculous then, just your reality shaped by limited perspective. Your perspective isn't truth. It's built from past experiences. If a dog bit you as a child, you might still cross the street to avoid dogs decades later, heart racing despite no real danger. Your perspective was written long ago. Recognizing that you subconsciously filter reality through past experiences holds immense power. If you can perceive something as entirely negative, you can also find positives in any situation. Your ability to control perspective, to extract meaning from negatives, is an unbeatable superpower. While perspective is how you see the world, mindset is what you think about what you see. Carol Dweck's research reveals two fundamental orientations: a fixed mindset, believing talents are unchangeable, or a growth mindset, believing we can develop new skills throughout life. My husband believed he could only do what he was naturally capable of doing. I've always believed I could do anything with enough effort. Something about what I didn't have made me view the world as a puzzle to solve. I concluded early that the only thing between me and my desires was knowledge I didn't yet possess. Your mindset is clay you can shape into anything, a vase, mug, bowl. As long as you add ideas, experiences, challenges, and skills, you can forever alter how you think. A fixed mindset is like clay left untouched. Neglect it, and it hardens on its own. Why discuss this in the context of pain? Because facing difficult seasons with a fixed mindset adds the weight of hopelessness before you even try. You can get through this. There is hope. You won't always feel like you do today. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the assessment that something else is more important than fear. When facing difficult times or major life changes, you must actively choose to move forward in faith, not fear. And you'll need to choose again and again, especially on hard days. When my brother committed suicide at 14, it destroyed our family. My parents gave up that day, not on life, but on me. I was 14 and had just found my brother after he put a handgun to his temple. My parents never parented me again. I've had more conversations with my 11-year-old about Fortnite than either parent has had with me about what I saw or my grief in the 23 years since. Your kids are never old enough to watch you break down or process your pain with them. Call your therapist or friend, but don't ask your kids to carry you through hard seasons. You owe it to your people, your team, partner, children, yourself, to show up, even when it's hard. This means getting brutally honest about your financial situation during crisis, making decisive cuts to unnecessary expenses, working multiple jobs if needed. There's no shame in side hustles. What's truly shameful is drowning financially while pretending everything is fine. Each hardship you intentionally move through builds resilience, the ability to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions. True resilience makes you strong, but also more tender. To build it, be honest about where you are, look at your scars rather than open wounds, and imagine the anti-hero, what you don't want to become if you allow bitterness to consume you. Choose joy even in darkness, because you're capable of holding both joy and sadness simultaneously.